Bezrat Mizbach, we begin Perek Shleish Asa, the 13th chapter in the Rambam Hilchos Niskei Mamon, in the laws of when one's money is damages, in the Seif and the Zik in the Book of Damages, which in this Perek we continue in the theme of the Mazik of Bar, specifically regarding the halacha of Kalim, of vessels, garments in the Bar, and also regarding the Tailadis, the derivatives of this Mazik of Bar. As Rambam begins halacha Aleph regarding the exemption of a Bar for the victims of a person and of the damages that relates to Kalim. So kelim should not fall labor in the shtabur. If vessels fall into a pit and they break, balabar potter, the owner of the pit's going to be exempt. Kashnemet says in the passing in Shemayis, when nafal shamash harachamar, and that in the pit falls in a ox or a donkey, which mepiashim ulamdi from tradition they learned, shor weising ox to tell you below adam, not a person, chamar a donkey, below kelim and not the vessels, and whatever is not a living creature is included in the halacha vessels and can be exempt. Now afilu nafal shor bekelim, and even if an ox with its vessels fall in. Umesa shoven the shtaber kelim, and the ox dies and the vessels break. So chayv al behem, you'll be liable for the animal, but a partal kelim will be exempt for the vessels. Now the Rambam explains that regarding the derivatives of bar is any stumbling block, anything that causes one, which it's a passive element that of bar, any stumbling block. Habar ma'avas nezikinu. So the pit is one of the primary categories of damages. B'toldos of kamayu, and its derivatives are just like it, which are mu'adim mitchilasin, which are considered a mu'id from its beginning, one is going to be liable to nezik shalom, even on the first time that it damages. Now, b'cholam aniach takala, anyone that plays a stumbling block in the public domain, harizu t'ilat desabar, this is a derivative of what a pit is, and therefore vim huzak ba'adam abehema, which, because the pit and the takala act and they pass away, if a person or animal become damaged with it, and that's specifically hezek, because for adam one is actually exempt from misa, but for damages, so the one who placed the stumbling block has to pay nezik shalom, the full damages. Ben hifkar hatakala, whether he declared ownless this item, ben lo hifkir, whether he did not declare ownless. The halacha is always, it's like your pit, even if it's not really owned by you. But if vessels become damaged with it, so that pater, that's going to be exempt. There's not a halacha of misa, as it is by person. All damages of vessels, one's going to be pater. Halacha gemaketzer, how so? So Ram illustrates, hamanich avnoi, oisakinoi, if someone places his stone, his knife, or tibna, or his straw, or masal, or his load, okay, it's been, or there's similar things, but it's just in the public domain. For who's going to be, people get damaged from it, whether it's a person, whether it's animals, the one who put it there is liable for the full damages. Something applies if he put it in his own property, but the hifkir reshusa, then he declared his property ownerless, but he did not declare those items ownerless, which is similar to the halacha of bayar. Nitkal bakarka, someone trips on the ground, v'nechbet batakala zu, and he bangs himself on this item, v'huzikba, and he gets damaged with it. So chayiv batakala, the owner of this item, even though the ground also participated in the damage, the owner of the object is going to have to pay the whole thing because the ground is hefker, and it's not included in being liable for payment. V'mhuzku kem chalei lebar, if let's say vessels get damaged from all these things, oy nitomfu, they become dirty, for example, let's say someone spilled water in their shisram, and the person's garments got dirty, pater, the person can be exempt because the halacha of the water is like the pit, which is a takala, which one is exempt for kalim, for a bur. Halacha dal, hich nesher l'chatzar balabayis shlebishos. If someone wrote his ox into the courtyard of a homeowner without permission, and then his animal went and excreted over there, dung, v'nitinfu behem kalim shal balabayis, and now the vessels, the garments of the homeowner become dirtied with that dung, so pater, the owner of the ox is going to be exempt, shagol zeh tolad is bar, because now that it's laying there in the passive way, that excrement is a derivative of bar. Like we said, that even if it's not even getting broken, just sullied, we don't find that a pit and its tolad should be liable for that of kelim. Halacha continues, what happens if someone is walking and he trips? As this relates to the Tarkolis and Rishos Aram. Hamanichas Arkad B'Rishos Aram. Someone places a jug in the public domain. V'holach HaMahalach V'nitkel Bo U'Shavara. Now someone is walking by and he trips on it and he breaks that. So Pater is exempt. L'fish Ein Derech Meneot M'Lismayin M'Derech K'shem M'Halchen. It's not normal for people to look and analyze the road as they're walking. People just walk. And therefore it's not his liability. V'mehuzik Ben, if he got damaged by that jug, HaRibalakad Chayim B'Nezakim. The owner of the jug is going to be liable for the damages because the jug is like a pit. And for nizakim of adam, not the dev, the owner of the pit, and in this case the kad, is liable. Fafel hifkra kad, even if he made the jug ownerless, doesn't make a difference. You call a mafka nizakim b'makom she'in l'rishus la'asoysa mitchila, that mitchila is a specific word, because whoever declares his objects that are damaging, ownerless, in the place where he has no permission to do that initially, chayev ki lofkim, he's liable as if he did not declare ownerless, and the responsibility is on him, as if he's the owner of this pit. Halachavav. Hinichas akad. Let's say he put the jug b'makom sheyesh l'rishos l'nichasham, in the place where he did have permission to put over there. Kagain makom hakranas, which is the open area that's in front of shalgitos of the wine press, which is where people press their grapes into wine. Or things similar like that, places where you're allowed to put your vessels, where there's not enough room in front of the olive press or the wine press. And then someone tripped on it and broke it. Chayev, that person is going to be liable. And the one who was walking, he injured himself. The owner of the drug is exempt. Because the guy was walking, he should have looked, because he knows that generally people do put their vessels over there. Now, if it was dark, or let's say the guy filled up the whole road with jugs and there was no room for a person to pass by but to walk over the jugs, then the one that was walking there is going to be exempt because it's not his fault. If he trips on it, the owner of the jug is going to be liable for his damages. And anything that's similar to this, where then it's not his fault and therefore the owner of the jugs is liable. Halacha Zayin continues with a pit that was made beyond the person's control. Let's say someone's jug broke in the public domain. And then someone slipped on the water. Oh, he got injured from the shards. So he's exempt from being prosecuted in the courts. Because beyond his control, he didn't intentionally break his jug. It broke. And that after he had tripped on something, he's liable for the judgment from heaven, because he didn't remove the shards. Now, the shards in the water are like ownerless, because generally a person would be mafkrid. And he only made it hefker after his accident, and therefore it's not similar to the case of declaring his jug ownerless that we said in Halacha Hey, and therefore he's exempt. Because in contrast, let's say he intentionally breaks the jug, so even if he declares ownerless, yeah, like we said in Halacha, hey, would be chayv. But here, it was an accident, and what's he supposed to do? It's beyond his control. But again, the fact that he didn't clear it away is a liability for b'din Hashemayim. But what then something would apply? Nafla gamali. Let's say his camel fell. Lohimida, and he doesn't lift it up, and he just leaves it there, and he says, okay, let it be whoever wants his mafgrid, and someone else gets harmed from the camel. So the only camel's exempt from b'din Adam is chayv b'din Hashemayim. Now, if he's not mafgrid the camel, someone else gets damaged, so of course he's going to be chayv because it's his butt. But if he's not, so then it's part of the Yad Mechab Nish. Man, Mechal Kates, anything similar like that. Now, let's say someone's vessels get damaged in any of these things, let's say in the water or the shards or the camel, so then anyway, Potter, the owner, is going to be exempt because it's a bur, and a bur is Potter and Kalim, whether if it breaks or whether it gets damaged. And this is Bein Hifka, Bein Lo Hifka, whether he declared on list, didn't clear on list, Kumesh Ran, like we explained this in Halacha Alf and Beit. Now, in Halacha Ches, we continue with Halachas of accidents and mishaps on the road. So shnei kadarim. Let's say there's two potterers who make pots. Shayim halcha mederech zechazeh that was going on the road one after the other. Now the nitkal harishon menafal. So the first one tripped and he fell. The nitkal shen merishon. Now the second one trips on the first person. So it depends. Im hoy l'rishon lamed v'lamed. If the first guy could have gotten up and didn't get up, chay harishon miske sheni. So the first one is responsible for the damages of the second one. Although he was beyond his control when he fell, but he wasn't beyond his control when he was just laying down the road. Now he could have gotten up, and therefore he's going to be liable like a bur because his body's not hefker, and he is functioning like a mazik of a bur. Now, but if he couldn't have gotten it up, meaning he didn't have time to get up, then part is exempt because again it's einus beyond his control. And even though he didn't warn the guy that tripped on him, they should turn up an option because he was very busy, perturbed with his own fall, and therefore it's not considered a liability of his. Halacha test. Now, when do we say this, Chayv ben Nezak of Shalsheni, that he would be liable for the damages of the second person, is because who's a goof of Shalsheni? Is when the body of the second person got injured by falling on the first person. Avim Husku Caleb, but let's say the vessels he was carrying broke, then part of the first guy is going to be exempt. Again, Sheinah Chayv ala Caleb Babur, because he's not liable for vessels that get damaged in the bar. The chol takol and any stumbling block, for example, the body of the first person who's functioning himself like a bar, is toledus bar, is a derivative of bar, Kamesh Ran, like we explained, halacha beis, and therefore, his body, is going to be exempt for the kalim of the second one. Halacha yud, hakadorim, bahazagogim, those who make pots, those who make glass, bakayitzim, and similar types. Shoyim halachan zechazet, that we're going one after the other. Menitkal rishim enough, well, the first one trips and falls. Menitkal shim berishim, the second one trips on the first one and falls. Vashlisha b'sheni, the third and the second. And each one of them could have gotten up, but didn't get up, which we said is a liability. Harishin chayv b'niski gufish shalsheni. So the first one's liable for damages of the body of the second one. And it's bein shehuzik b'gufish harishin mutabar. It's whether he gets harmed in the body of the first person who's laying on the ground. Bein shehuzik b'masoi, whether he gets injured by the load of the first one, if he wasn't mafkrit, like we said in Halacha Zayin. V'asheni chayv b'niski gufish shalshishi. And the second one's liable for the damages of the body of the third one. Im huzik b'gufish shalsheni. But that's only if he gets harmed by the body of the second one. But if he gets harmed in the package of the second one who fell, even if he was not mafgrit, Potter, that second one's going to be exempt then. Because the second guy could tell him, this pit which is my load, I'm not the one who dug this pit. Because the first guy is the one that made the second guy fall with his load. Now, the second guy with his own body, that he's making by not getting up. But that's not the same thing for his load. Now, if they each warn each other, then kulam b'turin, then they all give the exempt, even if he could have gotten up but didn't get up, because that was enough of a warning, and there was not his liability. Halacha yidalf. Nafal arishin. The first guy fell. And he was laying along the entire width of the road. Now, one guy trips on his head. One trips on his legs. One trips on his belly. So he's liable for the damages of all them. Since he could have gotten up, he didn't get up. So for each one of those that are coming and falling in different spots of him, he's going to be liable for each one of them. Halacha Beis continues regarding taking garbage out to the street, again, which all are functioning in that of a takala. Someone spills water out into the public domain, and someone else gets harmed because of that. So Chayav ben Nezakah, he's liable for the damages because, again, water has a halacha like bor, and there's no difference if it's mafker or not, because even if someone is mafker his damaging items, he's going to be chayav. But if let's say that guy's garments or vessels get ruined, so Potter's going to be exempt again because Bar is part of a Kalim. Like we explained in Halacha Aleph. Nivlu ha-mayim ba'aretz. So let's say the water gets absorbed into the ground. But v'nishara aretz chalaka, but the earth remains slippery. The huchlak, and someone slips, the nafal, and he falls, and huzik b'karka, and he gets injured when he bangs himself on the ground. Harizachai ben Nezakov, that person can be liable for his damages because even though he gets damaged by the ground's not his, but the Bar also is hefker, and still the Torah holds him liable by making the bar. If a person gets damaged by the ground of the pit, so therefore her also, the guy slips on his the remnants of his water, he's going to be chayv. Elochid gimel kol elush, a place can be by same. All those people that they open up their gutters and pour out the wastewater to the Rishus Rabbim. The Grifim are the same, and they clean out their caves and they throw out all the garbage into the Rishus Rabbim. They have no permission to spill out the water into the public domain in the summer months because the streets are clean and you're not allowed to dirty them. But in the winter months, they have permission because anyways they're dirty. Now, for Alpha Bekane, now even so that they have permission to do that, if a person or animal gets damaged with the waters, they're going to be liable for the full damages because although they give permission, it's only with the stipulation that if something happens, they're going to have to compensate. Halacha Yudalot. A person should not take out his straw, which that's what remains after the threshing, or bakashai, which is the type of straw that remains on the ground after the harvest, which is the remnants of the stalk, to the public domain. Now I'll take it out. Why would a person take it out? Kadeshu, so that people should step on it and thresh it, and turn it into fertilizer, because people would slip on it and get harmed. That's why you now put out to the Rishus Rabbim. And if a person did take it out, so the rabbis penalize them so that the people should not get used to taking it out. That it should be like ownerless. And whoever goes first, zacha merits it. From the moment that they were threshed on and they got improved. So in other words, if it was there a long time and Rosh Hashanah, it became like fertilizer, whoever could take it, it's his. Now, if someone went earlier than that and merited in them, from the moment they're taking it out to the public domain, we don't take it away from him, because that's a question in the Gemara which wasn't resolved if we penalize the person right away only when it gets improved. And therefore, if someone took it, then we don't take it away from him. Now, v'afbi shehim kehefker, and even though they're like hefker, that whoever takes it can keep it, if someone actually does get harmed or an animal, the one who actually initially took it out is going to be chayiv l'sham, is going to have to pay back, like the halach of a bar, obviously that the person is not gained by the penalty that was put on him. Halacha tezvav. Yesh l'chol adam. There's permission for every single person to take out the compost and the manure to the public domain at the time when they take out the compost, and to pile them up over there for 30 days so that they should be stepped on by the people's feet and the animal's feet. Now, even so that for this there's permission, if a person gets damaged, the owner has to pay. Now, if someone else comes and takes it, in contrast to the straw, which you're allowed to, here, if someone takes it, he's going to be liable for theft. Since there's no improvement if it gets stepped on. So with that, they didn't penalize, and if someone takes it, he's doing gezel. Lachat Zav continues regarding building in Rishus Rab. In Sharon Tit Rishus Rab, one's not allowed to soak mortar in the public domain, meaning you're not allowed to put the mortar into water so that it becomes softer, where it takes, you leave it there for a long time, and that's problematic as a hazard. And they didn't live in Levanim. Neither are you allowed to make bricks, because that also takes a long time until they dry. Aval Gleivim Tit, what you could do is you could mix the water to put it immediately with the mortar to build it into the structure, b'shus ram, the public domain, but not bricks. Halachit Zayin, habayim b'shus ram, someone builds in the public domain, so maybe avonim, so the one who brings this, I mean, you have to sometimes build in the public domain, but if someone brings the stones, maybe brings it, b'abayim, and the one who builds it, b'ayim, it builds it right away, and b'kul m'shaziku chayavin l'sham nezik sham, and all those that get damaged, they have to pay the full amount of damages. Halachit Ches, hachatzav, the quarrier, Shachatzav Evan, that quarries the stone from the mountain, and gives it to the stone cutter. And at the time when the stone cutter had it, a person or an animal got damaged. So Hasatzav is chayiv. So it was under his jurisdiction then. So the stone cutter is liable. Now, but if the stone cutter gave it over to the donkey driver who's going to transport it to the place of where the construction is going on, so then the donkey driver is liable. Let's say the donkey driver gave it over to the porter. So if something happens, then the porter is liable. If the porter gave it over to the builder, the builder is liable. Now, if the builder gave it over to the one who is making sure that it's straight on how it's sitting there in the structure, the one who is preparing that is liable. Now, if after that it is put onto the top part of the structure, nothing falls off, as you can, the damages. And they were acting as contractors, meaning they accepted they're going to do the whole work and all partners. So they're all liable for the damages together. They're all going to be liable. But as long as the stone is still in one of the contractors, that person, as we said before, is going to be liable for when it's under his jurisdiction. But this is after everything's done. In contrast with schirus, let's say they're just hired laborers, they get paid for the amount of hours that they work, then the last one, which is in this case, is the one to put it on top of the pile of the bricks, that's the last thing that's being done, he's going to be liable, but for Kumbhakaran, they're all going to be exempt because they're not all responsible for all the work. Everyone's doing their own thing. He's the last one that did it. Obviously, it's his fault. Halachia test continues regarding damages that were formed in the public domain. Hakoisel vo'ilon, regarding a wall or a tree, shenaflu shasaram b'ziga, that fall into the public domain, and the damages. Patam alashalam, so the owner is exempt from paying because he wasn't negligent. Now, va'av b'shef kirim, and even though that he declared it ownerless, which that halacha of when you have a stumbling block in that your mafka has halacha like a bar, no, lefisha inim demon bar, it's not similar to the halacha of a bar. Why? Sharei in tchilasim lahazik, because its inception, its initial creation was not to damage, and the person made the wall or planted the tree with permission, and therefore, even though it ends up damaging, it's going to be pata. Not the mayru uyim, but if they were shaky, so bezin kovin leizman lokets as ilam listers, because the courts set a time for him by when he has to chop down the tree and to demolish the wall. But kamazman, how much is the time? Shlosh miyim is 30 days. Nafal b'tichas man bezigal, if it falls within that time and the damages, but he's going to be exempt. La'achazman, but if it's already past that date, chayiv m'mnei shi oisim, he's going to be liable because he delayed in taking care of this hazard. Halacha chav hametznias akoytz v'esas chuches. If someone conceals a thorn or glass in a wall, let's say someone makes a wall out of thorns, it's hovering into the public domain. So now someone gets harmed from these elements. So chayiv nezik sham, he's going to be liable for the full damages because you now put a stumbling block in the Rishus Rab. Now, let's say he made a wall of thorns, but precisely that it was only in his domain, so part is going to be exempt. Because even though it's right by the border of the public domain, it's not normal for people to rub up against the walls. And since that was in his property, if someone does get harmed, it's not his fault. If someone conceals his thorns or his glass in his friend's wall, now the owner of the wall comes along and demolishes his wall, And now it fell into the public domain. Now someone gets harmed by that thorn or that glass. So it depends. If it was a shaky wall, the one who concealed it in there is going to be liable because it was his negligence, because he should have realized that this wall, which was shaky, might become the malsh, and it's going to be a stumbling block in the public domain. But if it was a strong wall, then actually the owner of the wall is going to be liable. And the reason why that is because the one who put in the thorns didn't have to entertain this. And he's obligated to go ahead and conceal the thorns after the wall was destroyed. And he didn't, because ultimately it was in his wall that was demolished, and therefore he's going to be liable. Halacha base. Chassidim Rishonim, the earlier pious ones, like we said, what do you do with this? So some people would put in the wall, but we said that could cause damages. So they would actually conceal their thorns and their broken pieces of glass, but in their fields, in a depth of at least 3 hand breadths into the ground. That when they're plowing, they shouldn't bring it up again because these are hazards. Others, they're actually burning in fire. Others, they were thrown into the sea or into the river. Again, that people shouldn't get harmed. The person always has to think ahead to make sure that there's nothing hazardous for the public. A person should not get rid of a stone by taking it out of his property and throwing it into the street. Also, I don't make any cavities beneath the public domain. No types of caves or pits. Even though a wagon carrying stones could go on it and nothing will happen, but maybe it might cave in from the bottom without people's awareness, thus obviously causing a hazard. But if someone dug a pit for the public needs, for public works, then that's permitted again because that's for the public. Regarding what a person's allowed to do organizing something that's sticking out into the Rishus Rabbim. So, imitzin zizin. Person cannot stick out small poles or gezuz terois or large beams that stick out from one's house into the Rishus Rabbim, like a porch, Rishus Rabbim, to the public domain. Unless it was above the height of how high is a camel with its rider on top. Vuhu, and that is shleyafal aderech, but the Rishus Rabbim, as long as it's not causing undue darkness by this obstruction over the people in the public domain. Now, if a person wants to, what he could do is kindness l'tech shaloi umitziyai. What he could do is that he could bring in the wall of his property within his property line, leaving some of his property on the outside, how much he wants a porch to stick out, and then he could stick out the porch because that's in his property line. Now, let's say he pulls in his wall, but it doesn't stick out his porch, his poles. So he could have the porch and bring it out whenever he wants to. We don't say, oh, he didn't do it right away, so you let's say we're forgiving on that and you lost your rights. No, it's his property line. But he can never yet ever put his wall back to where his property line is, because since in the interim the public has already started walking by that ground, by that area, because it's now become part of the Shazram. Cannot take it back. Because any boundary line that the public already has taken hold of, also calculate not a ruin, and you know, never put your wall back. You could put out your porch because that's within your rights, but the wall can't go back. Let's say someone bought a courtyard. Uvon already has these poles or these beams going out into the public domain. It remains with its presumed prior status of permissibility. Even if it falls, you go in and rebuild it as it originally was, and you don't have to bring proof to show that the seller had originally done it within this property line. No, it's enough to say that this is how he bought it, that's how he could rebuild it that way. If there's a tree that's sticking out into the public domain, you have to cut off the branches. As long as you could be able to have the camel ride with its rider through that street and not have that obstruction. Moreover, you have to leave open area on two sides of the river, because sometimes they come with the boats on one side and sometimes on the other side. You have to leave, clear it out, the area, like the width of the shoulders of the sailors, they come down over there, and they pull the boat over there. You have to leave room that they could do that. And any tree that's within the width of this area, you cut it down right away. You don't even warn the owners, because it obstructs those who are pulling the boats, which is a necessity for the public. Let's say someone had a public path that was going through his fields with the owner's awareness. Now, Natala, let's say the owner of the field takes it for himself. When the son lemon that's out, then he gives him another path on the side instead. Masha Nasan Nasan. So the path that he gave them a Zachabai and they merit in it. And the one that he took from took back from them, that he doesn't merit. Because, like we said in Allah Chavdal, any path that the public has already taken possession, you're not allowed to ruin. Now, Bekamer Rechav Dechar, what's considered the width of a public path? It's not less than 16 amas. That's the halacha of a derech harab.